everybody, and welcome to this week's NPL show, the official podcast and radio show, depending on your view on what a podcast is, maybe a download, for the Northern Premier League. And joining me down the other end of the phone, we should be joined. Yes, he's there. It's Teagot. It's James Hayes, everyone, social media officer for the league. Hello, James. How are they?
Evening, Ben. How are you doing?
I'm all good. So where do you stand on the old, is it a podcast? Is it a radio show? Is it a download? Is it just rubbish? Where do you stand on it all?
It all depends where you're listening, because obviously
right.
it could be a podcast on Spotify, it could be a radio show if live sports are still putting us on. You never know.
Well, it's all happening. It's certainly all happening this week, that's for sure. FA Trophy preview coming your way later in the show. And listener at home, I mean, help me out here. I mean, you'd be sitting at home going, who's Ben got on this week to talk about the FA Trophy at such a broad stage of the competition, the first qualifying round? Who's good to get on? That's right. We're all on the same page here. Andrew Simpson, non-league reporter from Cheshire, will be joining us later for a full fixture preview from the FA Trophy for this weekend in the first qualifying round. We should say we're also going to be joined this week by Curtis Woodhouse, brand new manager at Gainsborough Trinity, former Tadcaster Albion, of course. Got Simon Howard coming on from Stalybridge Celtic. We're also going to be joined by Cal Jordan at Worksop Town. And back on the show, everybody. Why not? Tommy Brookbanks from Carlton Town will also be joining us on this week's show. There's only one place we can start, obviously, and that's to Saturday's FA Cup matches and their results in the fourth qualifying round. Some great results, some great performances. I feel like we should start off with Nantwich Town for obvious reasons. Nantwich Town 1, Kingsland Town 0. Finally revenge for Warrington. Congratulations to Dave Cook and to Nantwich Town. Safely through, James.
Yeah, indeed, and a great performance as well. A true performance against a team that's going well in the National League.
There we go. I mean, AFC Fylde in the next round. Home or away? Excuse my ignorance.
At home.
Okay, so Nantwich Town taking on AFC Fylde at home in the first round proper. It's a shame Chichester came out last. It would have been nice for Nantwich Town, obviously. But congratulations to Dave Cook and to everyone at Nantwich. And, of course, in the lead-up to that game, we'll make sure we hear from everyone at Nantwich Town. Let's try and get everyone, including the person who does the sensational pies at the Dabber Dome. They're going to be very, very popular on that particular Saturday. A big commiserations to Whitby Town. They drew 1-1 with Stourbridge. That went to a replay on Monday night. And, big commiserations to Whitby Town. 3-2, they were beaten by Stourbridge. Christian Green getting the goal, though, on the 82nd minute. In fact, Whitby Town were 2-0 up in this game, James. So one of them things, isn't it? I mean, travelling on a Monday night, and it's been a great run, nevertheless, for Whitby.
It was indeed. I mean, it was a very comfortable 2-0 up to the start of the second half. But, yeah, Stourbridge clawed himself back in, and as soon as they had that momentum going from the second goal, Whitby had lost it. But they put a massive effort in that night. They were winning every ball.
Well, a big commiserations to Whitby Town and commiserations as well to Belper Town. But congratulations to Belper Town at the same time. 2-1 they were beaten at Notts County in front of a crowd of 5,729. A good proportion of that lot came from Derbyshire, James.
Yeah, 1,700 on the gate for that one. And what a way to start for them to turn up after 10 minutes.
Danny Gordon opening the scoring for Grant Black's side. And like we said, I mean, it's just what an occasion for the club to be involved with.
Yeah, indeed. So, again, if you see the videos of the fans there, you'll see it as it pans out. They were the loudest people in the ground at Meadow Lane.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also commiserations to Cone. But again, a big congratulations to Cone. I saw some of the videos of the crowd non-stop chanting all the way through. 5-0, Gates said, won in the end. But they were flattered, really. Three of those goals coming in the last 20 minutes or so. So a big congratulations to Cone as well. But the FA Cup continues. But only Nantwich Town flying the flag for the NPL. And like we said, we'll be in touch with Nantwich Town in the lead up to that game. And we'll also have a preview for the FA Trophy as well, which is coming up in the second part of the show. But before that, to the matters in the league and Saturday's results for everyone else who was in league action on Saturday from the Northern Premier League, Premier Division. South Shields, a 1-1 draw with Grantham Town. A great result that for Grantham Town. Craig Westcar there getting the equaliser on the 73rd minute in front of a great crowd as well, over 2,000. But that's 2 points dropped. And what could Basford United do? Basford United 1. They beat Stafford Rangers by 3-1. What could Lancaster City do? They won as well. 3-1 win at Michelover Sports. So the gap now between top, second and third is just your 5 points, James. Not 10 points, Burke. Did he say 26 points it would be?
At some point he did, yeah. Wow. But then at some point, I'll say in the space of a week, the lead went dropped by half. So obviously, when we said last week, there was still 10 points there at this moment in time too.
Well, that's the top three. 5 points back in fourth position is Warrington Town. And Warrington Town were beaten on Saturday by Stalybridge Celtic. We'll obviously be hearing from Simon Howarth in the second, manager at Stalybridge Celtic. But it was a good win that for Stalybridge. That sees Stalybridge up to 11th. And everyone at home, you're on notice now. FC United in the playoffs. A 3-2 win at Atherton Colls. James, what's the mood like at across the league? What's your general feeling? Everyone must be very nervous now.
Yeah, I think they're more nervous than the fact that Sunday's on 10 after four games there for the club now in the league. Yeah. So, I mean, good win for you as well at the same time.
Sorry, James, not me. It's not me who won. FC United won. I'm impartial.
Yeah, FC United winning, of course. That's right. And obviously, Tundy on 10 goals for the season so far. But again, Atherton Colls, looking at the highlights, that one's... They didn't exactly make it easy for you, to by the looks of things.
Not me, James. They didn't make it easy for FC United. I can't stress this enough.
Them.
Yes. Right. But yes, so the playoffs are finished off there at the moment. We're Basford United in second, Lancaster City in third. Then that 5 point gap to Warrington, FC United finishing off the playoff positions at the moment. We'll return to that in a second. But very, very tight up in that mid-table pack now. In 11th, Stalybridge Celtic, following that 2-1 win at Warrington Town, 2 points behind FC United sitting in 5th. So certainly still all to play for. Let's catch up now with the manager at Stalybridge Celtic. Here's Simon Howarth. So, Simon, a big thank you for joining us. Before we get to the FA Trophy, just a big congratulations on that fantastic victory over Warrington. A great Tuesday night there for Stalybridge.
Yeah, it was a good win for us. It was it came on the back of a poor performance against Stafford. In all honesty, we've been consistently playing well the last 7 or 8 games, and Stafford was that one, I think, that everyone gets, just down to the amount of games and volume of games that we're all having to play. But the lads bounced back brilliantly at Warrington. Tough place to go. They're a real good team, as everybody knows, and it was good. You know, we didn't hang on, or it wasn't one of them kind of performances where we nicked something. We deserved the win. We hit the post, we hit the bar, and we had a goal ruled out, which was probably a goal, and we scored 2 goals. So we were deserved winners, which was more pleasing.
And with that win, 3 points now behind Warrington. Admittedly, you are 11th, but only 3 points behind 4th. And I think it's 4 points down to 14th to 4th. So what have you made of the start? Because Stalybridge is very much a part of this playoff push at the moment.
Yeah, we've had a good start, a decent start. There's been some indifferent performances, but I think it's like everyone in the league. I don't know whether that's down to competitiveness of the league, or whether it's the, like I said, the volume of games is tough. I think it's hard for the lads at this level to go Saturday, Tuesday for about 3 months. So I think once it settles down without the midweek games, I think you'll probably see a bit more consistency in teams. But we're pleased with our start, and you know, like I said, we've got a team now in the last 7 or 8 games and a squad that we're happy with. We've got the players in that we want. They're a real good group of lads, and we think we're a match for anybody. Unlike most other teams, I guess, it's trying to find that consistency. But I do believe that'll come a bit more when we get them sort of 3 weeks to get people patched up and ready Saturday to Saturday.
Yeah, I was going to mention, because obviously you've beaten Warrington there, and I saw you against FC United, and that was just a bonkers game in all fairness. Where are you tracking against your own expectations? Because last year was what it was, but this year it feels like you've got a bit of a spring in your step.
Yeah, I think last year, I think everybody knows there's been some financial troubles at Stalybridge in the last, probably before my time there, probably last 3-4 years. It's been difficult, and now we're on a sort of settled budget that's not anything to compete with the top boys, but hopefully it's something that we can build a squad with over a couple of seasons probably. And it's a shame last year, because up until February, I think we were 6th or 7th, and we lost a couple of players and we brought a few in, and we let ourselves down in the last 12 games and got ourselves in a situation we probably shouldn't have done, and took a lot of gloss off. Would have been an okay season, nothing more than that, but I think we were going to have an okay season. Whereas this year, I feel we've got a squad that can see it through. I think we've built on that, and for this club to get a top 10 finish this year would be huge. Obviously, we'd love to get in and around the playoffs, but I think for the club and where it's been, and you know, the uncertainty and the disappointment in the previous four, five, six seasons of the club, a top 10 finish and try and get some of the supporters back in would be a real, real bonus.
Yeah, and how about an FA Trophy run as well? I mean, I've said this to all the managers who we've got on the show, because we do all the managers' interviews on Friday, and the weather is, well, Mancunian and Northern, to say the least. So it's raining, so do check Twitter before setting off. But if this match is on against South Shields at Bower Fold, this one's going to be a pretty big game. So how are you shaping up for it?
Yeah, we're good. You know, we have everybody fit. We went to Shields just around about 10 days ago in the league, and we played really well there. You know, the stats backed it up. I think we had 48% possession, 11 corners today at one and things. So we had a right good go at Shields the other week, and we lost to a last-minute penalty, which I probably think is only given at that one ground in the whole division, to be honest. So we felt we were hard done by and should have come away with something. So being able to play them at home in the trophy tomorrow, we'll look forward to it. And we have a good pitch, like Shields does, and hopefully we can have a good game of football, weather-dependent, obviously. But it should be a good game. It should be a real good clash, and obviously for a club like ours, and obviously for some of the other clubs like ourselves, it's the financial gains is huge. So whilst we probably know we're not going to win the trophy, if we can get through a few rounds and bring a few quid in, it might help strengthen the team and the squad as we go through the season.
And then, like you said, I mean, it's the midweek games are fading off now, unless you, of course, you count the county cups and the league cups and all that. There are a lot of fixtures, to say the least, there. But back to league matters next Saturday against Radcliffe. A lot of local sides for Stalybridge to contend with this season as well. What would be a good season apart from finishing the top 10? Have you got a sneaky feeling that you could surprise a few people this season?
I think the squad we've got now, Ben, is definitely good enough to surprise a few and push for that playoffs. I think we played Radcliffe about 3 or 4 weeks ago when we were at that stage. I think we lost to them and Atherton. We had a few players missing, and we had two or three people we identified to bring in that hadn't got over the line, and I'm not making excuses. They won on the day and they were much the better team. But I do feel now like we're getting there with the squad of players we got. The performances have been consistent, and I'm sure all managers will say the same, but we've left a few points on the road, the FC game that you've seen. So I feel like we are getting there. And as we touched on, I think when you take the midweek games out, it gives teams a lot more time to prepare and get people patched up, because it's a big ask for these lads who are working to go. You know, we had Shields away on a Tuesday night and things, and it is a big ask. And I think that's where a lot of the inconsistencies coming from in the league. I think once that settles down, you'll probably see, you know, a bit more consistency, and the better teams will start to pull clear, and hopefully we'll be one of them.
Simon, how have their manager, Stalybridge Celtic, speaking to us here on the MPL show? And as we were saying there, James, very, very tight, isn't it? So it's too close to call at this stage, but it's certainly a lot of teams jockeying for position.
I mean, anyone down 16th at the moment. And I'm not meaning that because of the team in 16th, but because of the games in hand for Radcliffe and Morpeth.
Radcliffe, yes. And Morpeth.
Yeah, there's 3 points between them all at this moment in time, pretty much. And obviously, both Morpeth and Radcliffe win the games in hand. They're in the playoffs themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And we mentioned Radcliffe there, a 1-0 win against Matlock Town, a fantastic result that for Radcliffe. That sees Matlock just drop outside the playoff positions. And as you said, Radcliffe there currently 7 points behind FC United, but with 4 games in hand. Michelova Sports have dropped down a place. Whitby and Nantwich obviously weren't in league action. But then there's Witton Albion. Witton Albion beaten by Buxton at Silverlands by 2-0. Buxton's second league win of the season now, James. And they're outside the relegation spots.
Yeah, first time since the end of August, been out of the bottom three at this moment in time. And kind of say they're starting to get a little bit of form going. Two wins and a draw out of the last five.
Yeah. So congratulations to Buxton, a 2-0 win against Witton Albion. The battle of the mid-table sides, although I'm using that term loosely because we're only 14 games in, that's Hyde United 14 games in. For Morpeth, their 10th league game of the season was a 1-0 draw at Hyde United. What about the team currently sitting in 17th, Ashton United? They beat Gainsborough Trinity by 3-1. And could we, I mean, we'll come back to Gainsborough in a second for obvious reasons, but for Ashton, you know, they're starting to move up now as well. So, you know, I mentioned everyone's on notice now for SC United, but the likes of Buxton, the likes of Ashton United, when they start winning, then you'd expect them to keep winning, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that was a huge win there against Gainsborough on the Saturday afternoon. I'm hard to say that was a nearly 6 points because of the way the situation both teams were in. But, yeah, Gianluca Haven back on the score sheets in the NPL as well. With a great little header in the first half.
You touched about Gainsborough Trinity there. Brand new manager in place, Curtis Woodhouse, who we spoke to, I think, on the Step 4 show. I think we did speak to Tadcaster on the Step 4 show. And he's resigned from Tadcaster Albion and has now been appointed as the new manager at Gainsborough Trinity. Liam King moving to a coaching role and Ross Hannah moving purely back to a playing role at the club. So all change at North Home. And on Thursday, I caught up with the new manager at Gainsborough Trinity. Here's Curtis Woodhouse.
Yeah, great. You know, delighted to get the opportunity. All happened pretty quickly, to be honest. I think I met Richard on, I think it was Monday morning, at 11 o'clock, and by 2 o'clock I was the Gainsborough manager. So, yeah, all happened pretty quick, and I took training Tuesday, and we took training again last night. So I've had two really good sessions, and to be fair, the lads have been different class, you know, loads of energy. So I'm excited about Saturday's game. Hopefully go up there and get a positive result.
I mean, I've been to North Home, and it's a cracking venue for football. I mean, what's your first impressions of the setup?
Yeah, brilliant. I said to Richard, whenever I go to games, I always feel like I'm at a proper football club. You know, so it's a well-supported club. It's got a great fan base. And like I said, it just gives you that feeling that you're at a proper football club. Everything here is done properly. So yeah, like I said, I'm very fortunate to be the manager, and I'm looking forward to hopefully picking up the performance of the team. I know they've really, really struggled this year, this season especially, and you know, we're just trying to turn them results around as quick as we can, really, and get the club up the league and away from the dreaded relegation zone, and you know, just give the lads a bit of breathing space and try and build something long term. And you know, the aim for me is to get Gainsborough Trinity back into the Conference North. It's not going to happen overnight, but that's a long-term aim.
I mean, what's your assessment of the playing side of things? I mean, Liam King, obviously, he's staying on at the club as a coach, and Ross Hannah's gone back to playing duties, and the pair of them came in towards the end of last season and gave him a bit of a lift, and they almost got into the playoffs. But it's not really clicked this season for whatever reason.
Yeah, it's been a difficult job for King. You know, his first job is still... like 30, 31 years old, so he's still young, and I'm sure if he wants to move back into management, he'll be a lot better for the experience. And just like to say, you know, since me and Fozzie have come in, King and Ross have been fantastic. You know, everything with us they've done, you know, has helped us with a little bit of background information on the club, how things are done. So yeah, they couldn't have done more for us, really, which is great, because sometimes it can be a little bit awkward when you're kind of working alongside the old manager, and now he's a coach. So, but no, there's been no bumpiness. It's been quite a good transition, really, which it pleasantly surprised me. So yeah, all that side has gone really well. And like I said, yeah, we have had a difficult time. You know, there's no point getting away from that. But you know, when a new manager comes in, you know, everyone starts with a clean slate, and we're just hoping to kind of whatever gone on in the past. You know, I'm not too fussed about, really. It's all about moving forward now.
And admittedly, though, there was we've discussed it on this show in over the opening month or so of the season, just how many big hitters were down the bottom end, and you can certainly describe Gainsborough Trinity, like you say, as a big hitter, that's for sure. So you're not alone, are you, in being down there and going, why are they down there? How do you turn it all around?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you look at our squad, the first thing I did when I got the job was got a list of the squad, and you know, there's some really good names on in our squad that have been there, seen it and done it. So, you know, you don't become a bad player overnight. You know, I've played in teams myself where sometimes you just don't go for it and you can't buy a result, and for whatever reason, Gainsborough kind of fell into that this season. But, you know, you look at the league, some good sides in the league. It's a tough division, as is all the non-league now. You look at the Conference North, it's got some ridiculous sides in it, and even the league that I left with Tadcaster, every game was a hard game. There's no gimmies anymore, and I think the mentality of our squad needs to be right. No matter whether we're playing top of the league or bottom of the league, we have to go into the game with the correct mindset, and maybe that's been lacking a little bit. But yeah, that's what we're here to change. And you know, every game's a tough one. You know, we can't just turn up because we're Gainsborough and expect people to roll over. So we've got to apply ourselves a little bit better than what we have.
And I was going to mention Tadcaster before we get on to the FA Trophy, because you've left them in a good spot as well, sitting second in a very... I mean, we've discussed it on the Step 4 show, haven't we, how competitive that division is. So for them to be second, you've left them in a good place.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. You know, when I first got the job, speaking to the chairman, you know, my remit was to keep us in the league. We had to really work hard with recruitment. So to leave them second in the league is great, and hopefully the new manager that goes in can continue that and hopefully, you know, get up, go up. That's kind of the reason we've left them. So I hope they can continue that work. It's a great club. I had a good time there, but when games became knocking, it was very, very difficult to turn down. And I was on a non-contract with Tadcaster as well, so, you know, it's difficult, this football world. Sometimes, you know, to make an omelette, you've got to break a few eggs, and I'm sure there's some people down at Tadcaster that are a little bit disappointed to see me leave. But yeah, like you said, when games come knocking off you, the first team manager's job, it's very, very difficult to turn down.
And next up for yourself then, as manager of Gainsborough Trinity, you're travelling up to Dunstan. We should say we're recording this bit of the show on Friday lunchtime, and the weather's not great, let's say. So I do check Twitter before setting off. Not just the listener, but you as well, Curtis, obviously. So if it is on, this is a baptism of fire, because Dunstan have done good things in the FA Cup this season. So what's your take on the trophy and Gainsborough's chances?
Yeah, it's a tough old game. I think Dunstan were the favourites for the league at the start of the season, so we know it's going to be a really, really tough game. Tough place to go. But for me, on a personal note, it's a fantastic opening game for us, because I'll find out so much about my squad on Saturday going to a place like Dunstan. I'm glad we didn't kind of have an easier game where we might have rolled in 1-3 or 4-0 and then think everything's rosy. You know, we'll get a real baptism of fire, like you said, and I'll get to find out, you know, who's willing to stand up and be counted. So for me, on a personal level, it's a fantastic game to find out what we're all about.
Curtis Woodhouse there, manager of Gainsborough Trinity, speaking to us here on the NPL show. And, well, he's made a splash, hasn't he, Curtis? There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, he did a great job at Tadcaster. For those that don't listen to the Step 4 show, great start to the season this year in a really tough division. So I think he's that sort of manager you would expect. He could make an instant impact, especially with a lot of the coaching staff still there. You look at what happened with Lancaster last season, obviously rock bottom of the table, Mark Fell's come in, and Mark Fell turned that team around and they ended up in a top 10 spot.
And by magic, James, we've nearly done our look back at Saturday's results. There's just one last result to talk about. Bamber Bridge 1, Scarborough Athletic 2. Ryan Watson there scoring in the 92nd minute for Scarborough Athletic. You've got to feel sorry for Bamber Bridge in that one. But for Scarborough, that moves them up to 13th position. And they're starting to motor now. And sneakily, they've sneaked up on everyone, haven't they?
The fact that the main strikers aren't scoring says quite a lot with Scarborough. Now, they're 4-1 beaten now. And again, a huge threat for clubs to go to. I think they're still to lose, still beaten at home at this moment in time. And they've only lost one in the last seven.
That's our look at all these results from last weekend. As we said, a big congratulations to Nantwich, commiserations to Colne, to Whitby Town and to Belper Town in the FA Cup. It's the FA Trophy, though, this weekend. A fixture preview of Andrew Simpson coming up in a second. But James Hayes, just before we go, social media, what's happening this weekend? It's going to be FA Trophy-orama, I'd imagine.
It is indeed. I mean, obviously, we've still got the goals coming left, right and centre. Only the 10 million people saw this header from last weekend. I don't know, disrespect there, sorry, Ben. But, what? Yeah. Let's leave
that header.
Yeah.
Oh, God's sake. Let it go, everyone. Let it go. It's just a bad bounce. Blow me neck. If you're listening, Gary Lineker, hello. Well, James Hayes from the league, a big thank you for joining us this week. You have a lovely weekend, whatever you're planning on doing. And, I'm seeing you on Saturday, aren't I? Yeah.
No, you're not. You're not, actually, because I'm stuck in work, mate. You'll see me at the replay, though, because we know it's going to a replay on Tuesday.
Oh, of course it is. Yeah, I'll see you at the replay on Tuesday. Thank you, James Hayes. A big thank you to James Hayes for joining us on this week's show. But we've got a part of the league to one side now, and look to the future, and the future bearing down upon us is the FA Trophy first qualifying round. And joining me now for a bumper preview is Mr. Andrew Simpson. Hello, Simo. How are they?
I'm all right. After the excitement of the FA Cup, bring on the FA Trophy.
That's right.
This is the real stuff.
Just to let everyone know, we've got Tommy Brookbanks coming on shortly from Carlton Town and Cal Jordan from Worksop Town as well to talk about the FA Trophy. But is everyone sitting comfortably at home? Simo, are you sitting comfortably at home, more importantly?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, okay, right. Let's do this then. Right, alphabetical order. Atherton calls against Scarborough. Discuss.
Yeah, bring it on. All Premier Division tie. Contrasting form between these two at the moment. Coles, obviously, as we spoke to Gibbo on the monthly show, still adjusting to life at this level. It's been a little bit of harsh reality. They've lost four of the past six. They've lost three of the four games at home, so they've not been as safe at home as they would have liked. Scarborough, after a little bit of an indifferent start, are starting to climb the table. They're still the draw kings, aren't they, at home? But their away form's been all right, so they'll feel good going to the North West this weekend. And only Warrington and South Shields have won more away games than them, so it's probably makes Scarborough slight favourites.
And next up, we've got Basford United will be hosting Micklover Sports in a bit of a derby-ish, kind of, in a way. it's not really a derby, is it? I feel like Andrew Snaith there. That's terrible.
Andrew Snaith got very excited then. Yeah
he did. Basford United obviously have been in great form. So Micklover Sports, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's the old adage that we've come used to, isn't it? You rarely bet against Basford when they're playing at home. That's borne out by the form in the league this season. They won five of the six home games. You're right, though. Micklover... They've not won any of the past three. They've had a little bit of a dip, but they still sit seventh in the table, still having a really good season. They have lost the past two, though. So Basford are favourites by virtue of being at home, being in better form. But I think it'll be close.
It certainly will be close this weekend, I think, between Brighouse Town and Workington. Workington have had a great start to life at step four for this season, looking to bounce back first time round. Brighouse Town currently sitting, 7 points outside the playoff positions there, but they're going to be up there, that's for sure. So what do you think for this all step four affair?
Yeah, Brighouse got back on track a little bit after a poor run of results by beating Prescott 2-0 last time out. And their best chance is likely to be at home. Workington are top of the league and going really well, looking set for a return to the Premier Division, as you mentioned. But they have been a little bit less convincing away from home. But again, that's not a surprise. They've always kind of fated for their strong home form up in Cumbria when they were in the Premier Division. So they did need two attempts to beat Drolsden in the previous round as well. So I think Brighouse have got a good chance this weekend. They'll fancy it, I think.
Buxton against Hyde United. We just discussed, obviously, the result from the weekend for Buxton. I forgot. Was that against Witten? I'm rubbing it in there, aren't I? I do apologise. I started that sentence off, and then I thought, something doesn't feel right about that sentence I just said there. Oh, that's the empathy right there. It's kicking, isn't it? I'm sorry. Buxton, is everyone else on notice now that Buxton are back, do you think? I'd be worried.
Possibly. I mean, they've had, positive results in three of the past four games now, and obviously the major kind of red mark in that sequence was the hammering they got at FC United. But they've kept a couple of clean sheets since then, including then picking up that win against Witten last weekend. And actually, that probably puts them in better form than poor old Hyde. I'm not quite sure what's gone wrong there. They've not won any of the past seven league games. It's been a difficult month for them so far. That said, they did win a league meeting between the teams in September. They did win 3-1 Hyde. But yeah, Buxton... already a slightly different proposition than maybe they were even 2 weeks ago. So suddenly they've probably become favourites to knock Hyde out on Saturday.
Right, let's talk about Carlton Town then. They're hosting Matlock Town this weekend in not a derby, but there or thereabouts. obviously, Carlton Town have had a great start to the season. We'll get your thoughts in a second, Simo. But on Friday, I caught up with one of the joint managers at Carlton Town. It's Tommy Brookbanks. So, Tommy, a big thank you for joining us and welcome back to the MPL show. Before we get to the FA Trophy, just a congratulations for the start Carlton's made to the season. Quite phenomenal. I mean, how are you tracking versus your own expectations?
Cheers, Ben. Nice to be back. expectations? Well, it was to improve on last year, really, and the year before that, to be honest, personal for me and Mark, it would have been top 10, Ben, if I'm honest with you. But we realised at the start of the season, pre-season, hang on a minute, there's some good young lads in here. Don't know what happened last year, maybe a lot of injuries or whatever, but I said to Mark, we've got some good young lads here, you know, we encourage them, bring three or four experienced players in, we might be able to do some damage. And each week we keep saying, well, right, let's see where we go from here, and it just keeps rolling at the minute, Ben, so it's good for everybody at the club.
Yes, absolutely. Yourself and Mark Harvey obviously took over towards the end of last season. You've been there before, and to say you're a club legend would be a bit of an understatement. So, can you? I mean, five promotions, is that right? Can you make it six, do you think?
You put me on the spot here, Ben, haven't you? you know, it's one of them, isn't it? You know, football can change ever so quick. You know, we can easily lose three on the bounce. What I will say is that if this is, and I'm talking 25 years worth of it, I'd say this is the best dressing room I've ever had, Ben. For training, turning up on time, no egos, everybody's pulling in the right direction. We said at the start, we've got to be the fittest team in the league, and we are. And we have got real high hopes for this bunch because they're so young as well. And if not this season, maybe next season, Ben.
What do you make of the division you find yourselves in? Obviously, you know, the likes of Leek Town and Clee Forbes and some former big hitters who got back on the feet like Ilkeston and Worksop Town. So it's a tough division, this one.
Yeah, first and foremost, for me, it's fantastic because it's local, Ben. I mean, I think the service is within an hour. Having been in the Premier League for a long time, coming at 8 o'clock in the morning, this is nice and refreshing for me personally and Mark, but... yeah, I mean, there's some great clubs in here, and every game seems a big game. You look at the bottom of the league, it's a bit false at the minute with the likes of Sutton Coldfield and that lot down there. That won't be for long. Frickley, Frex is in there now. They aren't going to be down there for long. And you look at it, Ben, to be honest, who's going to go down out of it? Because there's some real big hitters, there's some real good teams. There's no wooden spooners. There's nobody you think, there's 3 points there. And it's good for the crowds as well because it's a local for everybody, Ben.
Yeah, and well, you could park the league to one side for this weekend, assuming the weather's going to be okay. I mean, it is chucking it down, we should say. But Matlock Town tomorrow, all being well. You're a big banana skin for Matlock. How are you going to ensure you're very slippery? How are you going to make that happen?
Well, we're going to do what we've done all season, Ben. First of all, it's not one of them where we turn up to enjoy it. I don't believe in that. We're there to win it, you know. I think our chances increase dramatically with it being on our own soil, you know. It's not the biggest of pitches ours, so you've got to be used to playing there. And I think it's one of them, you know, as soon as I've seen the draw, I thought, well, Matlock aren't going to relish it from the start, you know, and it's good for our club because it's a pretty much a local derby. And we're going to try and win it, Ben, you know, and we're going to just try and play the football we've been playing for the last 14 games.
And it's important, isn't it, to just keep that momentum going, regardless of
Absolutely.
The competition you're in?
Yeah, that's the thing, you know. I mean, people, tend to take some games a bit lighter. We can't afford to do that. We've got a momentum going. And, you know what, Ben, if we don't make it tomorrow, we've got to lose the right way. We've got to be playing the brand of football that we've been renowned for all season. Because, you know, next week the league comes again, Ben. And also for Carlton as well, you know, to get a trophy run, we've won two rounds at the minute. To get a trophy run would be fantastic because the gates have doubled this season. It's a great place to be at the minute. And I'm sure the fans will want to see us go further in the trophy. So it's a big day all round for everybody tomorrow, mate.
And just before you go, Tommy, obviously you're back in the saddle now, managing a club that you've got a long history with. Are you and Mark enjoying it?
Look, we're loving every minute of it, mate. Best decision we ever made. It was a bit iffy whether we stayed in the Premier League. Well, come back in the Premier League. And we had a long think about things. And once we met Mick at Carlton and he had outlined what he wanted from us, and it's one of them where there is pressure, Ben, but not the massive pressure, you know, and so we can actually at our time go out and really enjoy it, you know, express our values onto the club and to the people there. And of course for me personally as well, Ben, a lot of mates from the previous time, they were still there, so it's a joy. We're really enjoying every minute of it at the minute, Ben, I'll be honest with you.
Tommy Brookback's there speaking to us here on the NPL show, and I looked at the league table and thought, how good are Carlton Town at the moment? And then I looked to see who the manager was and I went, Ah, that's why. Because yeah, the magic's there, isn't it?
Yeah, he knows his stuff. And what a fantastic start to the season that they're having to find themselves leading the way. They've only lost once this season, and they've already won two games to reach this stage of the FA Trophy as well, so having a good time in this competition. And ominously for their opponents this week, I mean, Matlock are in pretty poor form. They had a little bit of a dip after that brilliant start to the season. They've lost five of the past six games in the Premier Division, so they're not feeling too good about the world going over to a banging form Carlton side. And I suppose if you were looking for potential upsets this weekend, I think that would certainly be on my list. It wouldn't surprise me if Carlton get the job done.
Wow. Curtis Woodhouse of Gainsborough Trinity, the new manager of Gainsborough Trinity, spoke to us earlier in the show. They're travelling to Dunstan this weekend. That is a difficult batsman fire right there, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, you could be lulled, really, by looking at the league table and seeing Dunstan down in 19th, but I think they've only played half a dozen or seven league games or something like that, so they're well behind in games. But that's because they had that fantastic run in the FA Cup, reaching the third qualifying round before they lost to Colne, who also have had a fantastic run, of course. We'll come on to them shortly. That's completely stunted any momentum in the league for Dunstan, so it's probably can't read too much when you look at the form table for them. Instead, they'll probably look at it and be licking the lips at facing a Gainsborough team that's been absolutely wretched form. It's just gone horribly wrong for them this season. They've only won two league games out of the 13 that they've played, and only one of those in the past 10. So it was probably not a surprise to most of us around the league to see that they've made a change this week. And Curtis Woodhouse will want an instant response from the players. But it is a really tricky tie to start off with, as you said. It wouldn't surprise me if this went to a second game, actually, wow, but to a replay.
What about Grantham Town? They're hosting Rushall Olympic this weekend. And, You wouldn't put it past Grantham, would you?
No, that's exactly what I was just going to say. Grantham are glorious fun. They've actually got the worst defensive record in the league, conceding more goals than anybody else in the Premier Division so far this season. That said, they've been pretty reliable at home. 14 of the 18 points they've scored have all come at home. So home advantage does matter in this tie. Rushall, last time I was on the show previewing an FA Cup tie they were involved in, were top of the table in the Southern Premier Central. They've slipped slightly after only winning one of the past five, and they now just sit just outside the playoffs. They have met Northern Premier League opposition this season. They've beaten Sheffield and Gainsborough in the FA Cup, but then they did lose to Cup Kings Belper, who earned that game against Notts County by knocking out Rushall. So Grantham probably slightly because of that good home form that they've got, but yes, Rushall have given notice by beating a couple of Northern Premier League teams already this season.
Where are Hills Owen? Have they been relegated to Step 4? Are they in Step 4?
They're in Step 4. They're Central, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
So it's an all Step 4 affair then, isn't it?
It's an all Step 4 one, yeah.
Yeah, I was looking down that Central division going, where's Hills Owen gone? Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, obviously Stamford this weekend. Stamford obviously had their own little mini FA Cup run, didn't they, this season? So can they mirror that in the FA Trophy?
Yeah, I think so. And actually, they've been better away from home this season, actually unbeaten in the league on their travels. And they had a really good win against Belper, aforementioned Belper, in the previous round of the FA Trophy. Hales Owen sit fifth in the Southern Central, but they've actually been better away from home. So Stamford's best chance may actually be to knock them out this weekend on their travels. So I think this is really close to call this. Again, possibly a replay, but I think Stamford's best chance is in the first meeting.
Good luck trying to predict who's going to be winning this game. Next up is it's Kidsgrove against Colne. Two mighty FA Cup runs from those two this past season. Colne obviously down towards the bottom end of the North West Division, but I think they've only played about two games, haven't they, in the league? But Kidsgrove, I mean, this is North West v South East.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of these times when you do these previews, you're looking at form, looking at how people are doing, and because these two have barely played a league game and they've been constantly on knockout duty, then it's kind of a bit pointless to look at how they've been doing. And again, I think, as I mentioned earlier, these are another two examples of the league table's not really probably a guide of what's going to happen this weekend. Kidsgrove actually have done all right when they have switched back to the league. They've unbeaten in the past four. They reached the third qualifying round of the FA Cup, where they lost to Gateshead, who, of course, coincidentally, went on to knock out Colne in the next round. So they've both played Gateshead in the FA Cup. They both had good runs already in the trophy this season. Kidsgrove won two games both at home, whereas Colne have knocked out Ramy and Mask, two really good results for them. So You're right, it's impossible to predict, but I actually think it'll be a really good cup tie.
Now, I'm going to put you in an awkward position here, talking about the next one, but Lancaster against Witton Albion. Lancaster have been epic this season. This is a tough game for Witton, isn't it?
Yeah, they thought it was a tough game when the draw was made, and I think even more so now, because Lancaster just kept on winning. In fact, Lancaster are on a good run at the moment. They've won 5 of the past 6 games in the Premier Division, but that sequence was actually started by a 3-1 win at Wynchard Park in September. They've really kicked on from that night. You're not quite sure at the moment what you're going to get from Witton. They had those back-to-back home wins against South Shields and Ashton, and you thought they'd really turned a corner, and then they followed that with a defeat against Buxton, struggling Buxton, of course, in the league last Saturday, and then they had a little bit of an embarrassment by losing to 1874 Northwich in the Cheshire FA Senior Cup after a penalty shootout in midweek. Albion have also really struggled away from home this season. They've only actually won once, and that was against CM Red Star in the FA Cup, a lower-ranked team. They've actually not won at all away from home other than on that afternoon. So they know how difficult this is. Banging form, Lancaster, a Lancaster team they've already lost to this season. So if Witton were to get them back down here to Northwich, I'm sure they'd be really pleased with that. But they're under no illusions of how difficult this game's going to be.
Good news, Simo. I think, based on just my eyes, without checking, you know, mathematically or anything like that, or counting out the fixtures, I believe we're over halfway into our fixture preview now. Leake Town against Chase Town. Leake Town have been superb, haven't they, this season so far? This is going to be a tough one for Chase Town.
It really is. They've got a little bit of a psychological advantage, and they did not leak out of the Staffordshire FA Senior Cup earlier this month, although I'm sure both teams didn't actually quite play their full-strength teams, but a little psychological blow to have won that. But you're right, Leake banging form, second in the league. They've only lost once in the league this season, and they're actually unbeaten on home turf, although they actually played far more games away. I'm not quite sure how that's happened. But Chase Town, obviously Scott Dundas, a few of his former players are in the league team, so he will have some intel on their strengths and weaknesses, and so it won't be a pushover, but Leake are definitely big favourites.
Could there be an upset in the up in the North East this weekend? Morpeth Town hosting Cleethorpes Town. Cleethorpes have been under Dave Smith, have been a lot more Cleethorpes like, haven't they, this season thus far? So what do you think?
Yeah, and they've done well in this competition. 2 good wins against Mosley and then Frickley to reach this stage. They're in good form in the league, winning 4 of the past 5. The only caveat you would add is that Morpeth, they're another team where you look at the table and think, oh, there's been a little bit of everything. They're 15th. Is that where they would expect to be? They've actually been drawing a lot of games. They're unbeaten in the past 6. 4 of those have been draws, but ominously, they are unbeaten at home this season. You know, kind of a trademark difficult place to go up. They have made Crack Park a bit of a fortress, and so they probably are slight favourites, but you spot on. They do need to be careful. Cleethorpes could cause them some problems.
Nantwich Town against Bamber Bridge. Obviously, Nantwich have got to the first round of the FA Cup now.
Yeah.
That's when you start thinking, as if you're Dave Cook, don't you? You go, do we need all the fixtures? But you want to keep the run going, don't you? But and Bamber Bridge want to get a run going somewhere.
They do, and I think what the context you just described does make this slightly more unpredictable than maybe you would have thought, looking at the league table and looking at recent form. And Nantwich obviously had that disappointing home defeat against Radcliffe, but they did bounce back to knock out Kingsley Town, and what a victory that was, by the way, last weekend in the FA Cup, and they've got home advantage in the next round, so they'll be really excited, looking forward to that. These two have met recently. It was a 2-2 draw, although that was at a Brigg. So they couldn't be separated that day. We seem to say it every time with Bamber Bridge, and sadly it still applies. Just seem to struggle so badly away from home. Really poor on their travels in the Premier Division this season. Lost 7 of the 8 games away from home. So that is a concern. But with everything else at Nantwich, which you've got going on, and obviously I'm pretty sure they're going to prioritise that FA Cup tie. It will be interesting to see what team Dave selects tomorrow. I still make them favourites. But it might not be as resounding as you might think. Mm.
What about Prescott Cables against Pickering Town? Pickering Town at the moment, bottom of, I suppose someone has to be bottom of the North West Division. I mean, it's so competitive, isn't it? But Prescott Cables, since Brian Richardson's departed, they've not really changed, have they? I suppose
no,
so.
No, they're right in the thick of it, which is where they will have wanted to be. They've had a slight bump by losing to Brighouse and Trafford in the past 2 league games. No disgrace in either of those 2 results, but it's just stopped their momentum slightly. That said, they remain really strong at home and haven't lost at home in the league this season. And also, they'll be visited by a side that's really struggling. 10 defeats in 12 games. That said, In the other two games that they didn't lose, one of them was a draw against Prescott. So they have avoided defeat against Prescott earlier this season. But yeah, it's hard to back against Prescott making the next round.
Now, for the 15th time this season, Radcliffe and FC United going head-to-head. Seriously, it's getting ridiculous now.
I thought you'd be a bit annoyed about that. They've all been at their place as well, haven't they?
Yeah, so far. James has already said, oh, don't worry, we'll do next week's show on Tuesday from Broadhurst Park. James, seriously. It's FC United have kicked into form, haven't they? I mean, they've been in great form.
Really, just been beaten
by Basford and South Shields in the league. So, what do you think for this one with Radcliffe having home advantage?
Yeah, and Radcliffe, to be fair, they've started to pick up as well, haven't they? I mean, again, they're another side because they've had games postponed and been in different competitions that you look at the table and see them in 16th, but they actually have won for the past six games, so they are climbing slightly. The previous meetings this season have been tight, haven't they, between the teams, a draw in the league and it was a draw in the Manchester Premier Cup before the penalty shootouts. There's not been much to choose between the sides, but you're quite right, FC United are in form. I had a little look this morning. They entered October and they were down in 12th in the league, so a really good return to be up to fifth where they are now going into November, and that will give them loads of confidence going into this game. Previous two games have been draws, so James might not be far off of predicting a fourth meeting of the season, but like you, I think I'd like to see it settled this weekend, and maybe it is FC's turn to get a win on the ball, but it is going to be really, really tight. Maybe the odd goal will separate them.
Variety is the spice of life, as they say.
Of course it is.
Right, let's talk about the old step four affair in the guise of Runcorn Linnets against Pontefract Coles. Runcorn Linnets currently in mid-table and Pontefract Coles in fourth, looking to get promoted, essentially. So what do you think for this one?
Yeah, Linnets probably will be a little bit disappointed to find themselves down in 14th after having such a good season last season. That's mainly down to that they've struggled away from home and not picked up as many points as they would like. They've actually been all right at home and have had a couple of really good wins to get to this stage. They've knocked out Marine and Trafford, so they've shown really good form in the trophy. Pontefract are banging form in all competitions, but they climbed to fourth in the table after winning six of the past eight in the league, so that they're feeling really good about the world at the moment. There is some form, some kind of previous history guide here. They've both played each other twice. They played the two league games between each other already, so 1-1 on the opening day of the season, and then Coles got a narrow 1-0 win in the return in Yorkshire. So there's been very little between them. I expect it to be tight. Pontefract may be slight favourites, but Linnets are better at home, so that'd be a good tie, that one.
Simo, four fixtures left. Can you believe it?
Here we go.
Stalybridge Celtic against South Shields. I mean, ooh. Would you put it past Stalybridge, given how South Shields have been recently?
And I wish you could see my notes written in front of me here, because it was quite inconsistent and ringed it. Because that's what Stalybridge are at the moment. You just don't know what you're going to get from them. What a brilliant win they had at Warrington last weekend. Fantastic win. And they actually played really, really well in the league meeting with South Shields before losing narrowly earlier this month. But again, in between, they had that heavy home defeat against Stafford, who'd not beaten anybody this season. So you really don't know what you're going to get from Stalybridge. South Shields, is this a crisis for them? They've not won any of the last two games. far from it, although they'll want to...
No. Let's do the talk sport thing, Simo. Hashtag South Shields in crisis.
South Shields are so good that the talking point of them not winning two games is kind of where we're kind of grasping around. Fair play to Grantham going up there and getting that point last weekend, which came off the back of Shields losing 3-1 down here in Northwich against Witten. Before anyone starts tweeting me, they're not in crisis. But they will be wary of Stalybridge, because I know they're very complimentary of Bridge from when they went up there. So Shields are favourite, of course they are, because they always are. But I think Stalybridge have got the capability of making it an uncomfortable afternoon at Bowerfold.
Next up, Sutton Coldfield Town against Stafford Rangers. Sutton Coldfield obviously down towards the bottom end of the South East Division. But that said, they've only played about four games, haven't they? Or something silly. They've had a good FA Cup run. So what do you think for this one? Because there's an upset here, isn't it, given who Sutton Coldfield have beaten this season already?
Well, that's it. Their best form has been reserved for the FA Cup, and they had a brilliant run to the third qualifying round before losing narrowly to Boston United. No disgrace in that. And they've also had a good win in this competition. They've knocked out Yaxley already. They've actually only played one league game this month, so no wonder they're kind of anchored where they are. They've not had a chance to climb the table because they've been playing in other competitions. Stafford, again, you're not quite sure what you're going to get from them. It still looks like they're struggling because they're down in 20th, but obviously, I know we've talked on previous shows about this. They had that six-match unbeaten run, which included five successive draws. And then they got that first win against Stalybridge, but followed that with a defeat away to Basford. But everyone's been losing away to Basford, so I don't think you read too much into that either. So Stafford, I don't think will be worried because they've been really, really difficult to beat. But they do need to be careful because, like I say, Sutton Coldfield have had some really good wins in knockout games this season and I'll be looking to chalk up another.
Warrington Town against Ashton United. Ashton United have started to move away from the relegation place. That basically just because of the win they got last weekend. They're still not out of the woods, but you do get the feeling that they're capable. Let's put it that way. Are they capable of beating Warrington at Cantilever Park on Saturday?
Yeah, I think they are, definitely. I saw them recently. They lost, actually it was the last kick of the match that Witten got the 3 points against Ashton, and Ashton could feel a little bit hard done by that. They certainly did enough to get a point that night. They actually played quite well, played really well in the second half, in fact. And that was a huge win for them against Gainsborough last weekend, wasn't it? I mean, we all would have looked at it before the start of the season and said, oh, Ashton beat Gainsborough, that's going to be a big game in October. But none of us would have thought it was a big game for the reasons that they were both trying to climb away from the bottom of the table, bottom part of the table. So huge result for Ashton, which gives them a big lift going to Warrington. Warrington are fourth, which is about where they'd like to be in the thick of it, but they're kind of scratching beneath the surface. They're struggling a little bit at Cantilever Park, which is pretty much unheard of. They've lost two of the past three there. FC United won there, didn't they? And then Stalybridge also won there last weekend. And in between, there was a draw against Lancaster. So they've been a little bit iffy at home. But it is Warrington, you know, it is still Warrington. So, you know, they still retain all of the qualities that we know. This is set up to be a really good tie, actually. I think it's probably you'd just edge with Warrington, but certainly one of the highlights of the games that we've been through today.
Absolutely. And finally, Whitby Town against Worksop Town. We'll get your thoughts in a second, Simo. But on Friday, I caught up with a player manager at Worksop Town. Here's Cal Jordan. So, Kyle, a big thank you for joining us. And first, big congratulations on your appointment as player manager at the club. How's your opening month or so been?
A little bit up and down, mate, to be honest. I mean, we've had some brilliant results, but then we've also had some big reality checks thrown in there as well. I mean, I think the first game I took over officially was the league game at home, and in all honesty, they were a lot better than what I was expecting they were going to be. So rather than be a little bit conservative, we tried to go for them a bit, and they've undone us. But I'm enjoying it, mate, really enjoying it.
I mean, it is a big job as well. I know Worksop find themselves at step four, but obviously they've been a bit higher in the pyramid. I mean, what's your expectations for what this squad can achieve this season, do you feel?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously every club's got budgets to adhere to and whatnot. But I mean, if your aim isn't to get, you know, at least in that, you know, that last playoff spot, then what's the point, you know? I mean, like I say, we're competing with some of the with some of the good sides, and we've beaten some of the good sides, and we seem to be pretty effective against the sides that are around us. So, you know, obviously you've got to aim high, haven't you? So I think we'll see. But our ambition, obviously, is to ultimately get out of this league and get into the one above. But however long that'll take is obviously something that time will tell.
And you're still playing, I believe, Carl, as well. So how are you juggling that side of things?
In all honesty, mate, I've taken a massive step back from it. I was sort of in and out of the team last year, and I'm coming towards the end of my playing years, I feel, anyway. So I've taken a massive step back from playing, but I'll be available as of when required as such. But I'll not be playing many, I don't think.
I was going to say, because that's often the difficulty, isn't it, for a lot of player managers to take that step back, because I think you've got to be one or the other, I think, in a lot of cases.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, off the top of my head, I can't really think of any, you know, hugely successful player managers, because I think you've got to, you know, you've got to be able to offer views on how things are going from an unbiased perspective as such when you're not involved in that team. I mean, for example, if I was involved in a team and playing in a team that's not doing the business and I'm not doing the business myself, how am I supposed to, you know, get that point over to the boys at half-time, for example, if I'm not doing my job myself? I don't think it's something really and there was a fact I wouldn't have took the job on if I still intended on being, you know, a big part of the playing squad. I'm happy to, you know, to come on as a sub if necessary and to play when we're really short, sort of thing, if we're struggling for bodies, or maybe in a couple of the the cup competitions. But yeah, I don't think I'd have took it on if I still had hopes, obviously, playing every week.
And obviously, because you've had such an excellent career as well. I mean, you've had a couple of spells at Worksop and beyond. I mean, what does it mean for you to be the manager now, having such a good playing career at the club?
Yeah, well, it's amazing. I mean, it's something that I spoke about with my mates at home as such for a while. You know, it'd be great to manage Worksop one day. And although obviously the circumstances weren't ideal as such in how it came about, and it definitely took me by surprise. But yeah, I mean, it's a massive job personally for me. I mean, I played for the under-19s at Worksop, obviously 10, 12 years ago. So I've got like a 10 plus year relationship with the club. So it's a massive part of my life, really, as daft as it sounds. So yeah, it's massive for me. And I mean, there's nowhere else really. There's nowhere else that I'd rather be, rather be flung into the job, so to speak.
Yeah, and well, this weekend you've got Whitby away, weather dependent, obviously, because it's chucking it down. But check social media before setting off. I mean, what would an FA Trophy run mean, and what are you expecting from Whitby?
Trophy runs, FA Cup runs. It's no secret at our level how beneficial they can be to the club financially. Not only does it get everybody excited and it builds a load of excitement around the club, but if you look at the runs that say Belper went on, that'll set them up, for at least the rest of the season, if not into next year in the FA Cup. So yeah, it's massive off the field and on the field, really. I mean, Whitby have just come off the back of a disappointing result, haven't they, Monday night at Stourbridge, and they've had a great run in the FA Cup. So they'll obviously be wanting to kick on and get another run going in this. It'll obviously be tough. They're a league above us, and they're flying in the league above us. So, yeah, it'll be very, very tough. But essentially, when, this time last year, we were playing in the NCAL Prem at a level below, and we weren't actually doing all that brilliant. You know, we were losing games. We actually lost early on in the Vars. We lost 5-0. So Winsford, I think it was. So like, these are fixtures that we were dreaming about 12 months ago. Do you know what I mean? Like being able to travel to Whitby, So yeah, the clubs took huge step forwards on the pitch over the past 12 months, and it's obviously, we've all got to be realistic in terms of that progression just doesn't just continue. It's something that essentially we want to continue, but it's like a building process. There's always going to be steps in the road, but yeah, like I say, these are fixtures that we were dreaming about. So I'm sure we'll take a lot of supporters. There should be a good crowd in there tomorrow, and yeah, all the players are buzzing for it. So yeah, excited.
Cal Jordan there, player manager at Worksop Town. Obviously, Worksop have had a bit of an upheaval in the last month or so, with Cal Jordan going up to become player manager. This is tough against Whitby.
It is tough. There's some hope in that Whitby have dropped points at home to Matlock and Warrington in the past two league games there. But the big caveat, of course, is that Whitby have been switching between competitions, and they had that brilliant run to the fourth qualifying round before, and Stourbridge needed two attempts to knock them out. So Chris Hardy's men have had their attention elsewhere. So I wouldn't read too much into those defeats that they've had. And they've generally been, obviously, in very good form in the league this season, just outside the playoffs at the moment. Worksop are doing all right on the road, though. They've won the past four away games in the league, and that's the reason why they've climbed into the top half of the table now in the South East Division. So, yeah, the managerial change, yeah, just still settling things down, but they've actually been better away from home than they have at home. Whitby are definitely favourites and should do the job, but yeah, the warning is there that the Tigers are no pushover on the road.
And that's our bumper FA Trophy first qualifying round edition preview, done and dusted for the MPL show. Just to mention, Witton Albion against Radcliffe in the league on Tuesday. That match will be postponed because Radcliffe have a replay against FC United, of course. joking aside, get yourself to Winsham Park. So just before you go, Simo, speaking of Winsham Park, where are you off to for the next few couple of matches?
Yeah, hopefully be at Winsham Park come what may on Tuesday. It'll either be that league game against Radcliffe, or if Witton have got a replay against Lancaster, then I'll be watching that. Not sure yet where I'm going to be the weekend. I might well be at the first game between Lancashire and Witton, but not too sure yet. But at @Simo_on_sport, you'll find out where I'm at.
And a big thank you to Andrew Simpson for joining us on this week's show. And that's it for this week's MPL show. Just before we go, obviously, many listeners will be aware, it has been raining all day on Friday, and some matches are now subject to a pitch inspection. In fact, as we go to air, some matches have actually been postponed. So do keep an eye on your club Twitter feed or Facebook page, and keep an eye on the league website as well for any news on postponements before setting off on Saturday to your match. But that's it for this week's MPL show. A big thank you to all my guests for joining me this week. And wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Northern Premier League side, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.